Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio. Pleasure to have you here. Also a pleasure to feature Crystal Yates of EBR HR Consulting, speaking on employment needs and landing that dream career, which a lot of people are in search of. Her credentials from SPHR and SHRM SCP help make Crystal Yates a certified HR expert with a background in human resources and operations as well. She's currently the owner of a top-rated career consulting firm that understands what candidates and small businesses are looking for. That's because prior to funding her own human resources consulting business, Crystal worked as an operations manager at smaller firms with mainline responsibility for hiring talent and keeping people engaged. Crystal and her team at EBR HR Experts supports candidates in other ways too. For starters, they rewrite candidates' resumes to better target the career they seek. And by walking them through the interview process right up to salary negotiation, she stresses that many of her clients are women who, for distinct cultural and personal reasons, tend not to ask for what they really deserve. The EBR HR organization as a whole is focused on the two pillars of the job market, the candidates who are looking for work and the organizations that are looking to hire or get more insight into what makes their staff tick. Ask Crystal how she arrived at her company, name, and branding. She'll tell you it's been a long journey, but she wanted to reflect factors like person-to-person service, rising in the job market, support and guidance, and most of all, results. Since EBR stands for Expect Better Results, Crystal is such a maven. She published her first book on the subject in 2018, The Insider's Guide to Your Dream Career. She's preparing to issue an updated edition of her book coming up this fall. The website, if you'd like to connect with Crystal and the team, you can go to www.ebrhrexperts.com. That's ebrhrexperts.com. Live and direct from Texas, just north of Dallas, we welcome our very special guest for part one of our exclusive series, Crystal Yates of EBR HR Consulting. Crystal, welcome to Close Up Radio. It's a pleasure to have you joining us today.
Thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. You know, I'm fascinated by the company name. Tell us about the company name. Your business is EBR HR Experts, and obviously EBR are not your initials. Tell us what those letters stand for and how the identity actually evolved over time.
Well, today they stand for Expect Better Results. That's what we stand for as an organization, is improving our customers, our small businesses, employee relations, and improving our job seekers' professional lives. But, you know, I laugh at how naive I was when I started the business, not understanding branding and the way it worked. We actually started, had some help from some friends, threw around a bunch of different names, and we landed on Elite Business Resources. And we very quickly decided that we sounded very expensive and very out of touch with the clientele we were going after. So we shortened it, and over time we realized that what we were trying to provide was also the initials of the organization. So expect better results with your employee issues and job search.
That's fantastic. That is terrific. Thanks for breaking that out for us. You know, I heard that some of your candidate services are focused on women. Is it true women are hesitant to ask for a higher level of authority or pay? Is that something that still happens and exists today?
It does. And while I don't see it as much with younger women, I see it across the board. There obviously men fall into that as well. But the percentage of women, and especially older women, that struggle with this is proportionately high.
Yeah.
And it's something I'd really like to break through. We've got really qualified, educated, motivated, great work ethic, smart women who are making so much less than they should have. We talk about the pay gap, right? And while I still believe there are some holdovers from, you know, decades ago, I believe a large part of that pay gap is our fault as women, because we're taught to be kind, don't rock the boat, be polite, be thankful for what you're given, be quiet, put your head down, work hard, and your good work will be recognized. That's not true. It's just not true. And I have a real passion for teaching women how to advocate for themselves. Again, it's not just women, but you see the change in women so much more than you do in men. So it's a real passion for me to help women move past those mind blocks that we've been raised with.
Exactly, right. And you can relate, which I think is an advantage for your clients, the relatability that exists, which is so incredibly important to the work that you do.
Absolutely.
Another aspect of the incredible work that you do, Crystal, of course, beyond women, is the focus on salary negotiation. And that could always be a tricky area for people who are not, it doesn't come easy to just bring that up in conversation with your employer and things of that nature. How could someone learn, whether they're, you know, woman, man, or anybody listening, to ask for what they deserve? I mean, is there a way to research and evaluate just what is fair market and that amount that you should ask for? I mean, these days I think a lot of people are fearful that if they ask for more, because we're in such a disposable society, the way we think and operate, that if they ask for more, they're going to be asked, you know, if you ask for more, you'll be shown the door. And they'll get somebody who will do it for cheaper and for less. The quality might not be as good, but they'll go with somebody that is asking for less money. So the person won't even ask for what they deserve because they're fearful of losing it all. Tell us about that.
That is a very, very common fear. But from a different perspective, there are tons of studies out there, and they're all slightly different, but they all agree over 70% of employers expect to negotiate. That means if you are not asking for more, then 70% or more of the time, you are leaving money on the table. That statistic alone should encourage people to ask for more. It has never been easier to research what jobs are paying. There are so many websites that focus on pay and help candidates look at what their peers are making. But I think the number one mistake people make is they go into a salary negotiation thinking about what they want and what they need. And if we can shift the conversation to talk about market value, this is what I bring to the table, this is the return I offer, this is what you're going to get from me when you pay me this, now you're having a business discussion instead of a personal discussion, and it becomes far more difficult for the employer to blow that off. You're making a business case for your salary. they're also less likely to take that negotiation personally. And I like to challenge my clients, do you really want to work for the, you know, for somebody who only cares about saving a buck? Or do you want to work for somebody who wants to help you grow and improve, who you can help grow and improve and achieve great things with? So those are the things you have to think of when you're negotiating. Very few companies, when you negotiate appropriately, are going to show you to the door. They may not negotiate, but if they can't and you've done it well, they'll just come back and say, this is what we have to offer. If you'd like to take it, we'd love to have you, but we can't meet what you're asking for.
Mm.
So there's not really the risk that most people think there is.
Yeah. Really amazing, huh? It's really amazing.
And if you can move past that fear, it completely changes the outlook.
Yes, right, exactly. It absolutely does. You know, another mainstay of the consulting business is resume writing for job seekers. How does a fine resume impact the odds of people getting the job they really want? Your resume really is your calling card. It is your brochure. As much as your smile is, so is your resume.
That's right. Well, let me put this into perspective. I'm going to date myself here. When I started hiring in the late 90s, I would get on average 30, 35, maybe 50 resumes if it was a really easy-to-fill position. Today, I get on average anywhere between 2 and 600. So back in the day, the candidate would come in, I would see their face right from the get-go, and I only had to sort through 50. Now, that felt pretty overwhelming back then, but it's nowhere near as overwhelming as 250.
Yeah.
So to directly answer the question, how important is it? It's imperative, because if that resume can't get past the applicant tracking software and doesn't very quickly grab my attention, you could be the best candidate in the world, but I'll never even know you exist or that you applied.
Yeah.
Your resume is your brochure, and I think that's one of the mistakes that job seekers make. They think that their resume is their job history. And while a job history is a piece of the resume, it really needs to sell your capabilities to the hiring manager. I say in my book, you know, pretend you're a refrigerator, right? You don't need to tell the buyer that you have a light that comes on every time you open the door. They already know that. You don't need to tell them that, look, I have a freezer at the top or at the bottom. They already know that or expect that. You need to tell them how many cubic square feet you have. You need to tell them during Super Bowl season how many party platters you hold, you know, how many six packs of beer. You need to focus on what the buyer wants. And by making that small shift, you can make all the difference in the world. I talk to people all the time who have applied and applied and applied and never heard anything. We make some very small changes on their resume, and all of a sudden, they're getting the phone call.
It's amazing when you really think about it, isn't it? It's just, see, it just lets people know that there is hope. I mean, there is the opportunity. And having somebody like you who, you know, has sort of broken this all out and made it easy for people to understand, because just, you know, it's a very emotional process when you're seeking work, changing careers, want to advance in the job you've got now, all these scenarios. Sometimes it can be very frustrating and keep you sort of frozen in time, and you're there to really provide a wonderful guidance that helps sort of stabilize the emotion for the client. And especially now, I mean, the times we're in, there's been this great resignation, there's this been this great pause, and people have been, and it's been unprecedented, really reevaluating their lives, what they want to do going forward, what are some of the things that matter most to them. All of this
yes.
comes into play as well, right?
It does. And this is something we've been pushing for years. Why just look for, I just need a paycheck, I just need another job, when you can spend the same effort and energy to look for the right job? It's why my book is called Your Dream Career, because we want people to find the right thing. I think this the great resignation, I like to call it the great reshuffle. I think this has really awakened people to that part of our professional careers. I don't have to be miserable 8-10 hours a day. I can find the right culture, the right fit, the right position for me if I just put the right effort into it.
Yes, right, exactly. And that's essential. You know, also, you have said that you dig deeper to understand what someone, you know, didn't like maybe about their last position, which ties into what we're talking about even right now with everybody
yeah.
reevaluating their life. And also deep dive into figuring out what their real passion is. Let's just chat about that. Maybe you have an example of somebody who found their real purpose in place.
Well, I talk to people every day who call me and say, Crystal, I need out. What I'm doing right now isn't sustainable. I need something else. And that's when most people start looking, right? Whether they call me or whether they decide to do it on our own, they have identified that their current job is not working for them. But most people put together a job history and start blowing up the internet with what can, you know, what's out there, without spending the time to target what's wrong. I find a lot of professionals, a lot of, you know, mid to late professionals have this gap, this 5 to 8 year gap on their resume where they've held jobs for years and years, and then they leave one job, and over the course of 5 to 8 years, they're going from job to job to job to job to job. And the reason is because they keep finding the wrong fit. So what we want to do is figure out, why do you not like your job? We like to blame it on pay. It's almost never pay. As long as the company is doing the right thing by them, and I know there are organizations that don't, but is it a cultural thing? You know, am I working with a bunch of people that I just don't like, that just don't have the same values as me? Is it a location thing? We're seeing a lot of that right now where people have learned that they can work from home. They don't want to drive an hour to the office every day. Is it a flexibility thing? You know, I need to be available to go take care of my kids when necessary because my spouse traveled. Or I need to be available for an aging parent if something happens. We're seeing more and more of that. You know, we hear the term sandwich generation now. And again, women especially find themselves, I want to work. I want to have a career. I love my career. But, you know, fill it in with whatever their personal obligations are. Or I like to travel. Or whatever your personal situation may be. We're not looking at the big picture when we're job hunting. And that's my job, and that's my focus, and that's my passion, is to help people figure out, what do I want out of a job? Do I not care about my job? I want to make the most money possible so I can put my time and effort to what I really am passionate about at the end of the day. I've worked with several artists over the years. It's very, very hard to make a living as an artist. Those are the types of people who want to find a job, care less about that environment, want a job that they can leave at the end of the day and not worry about, so they can go home and do their art. I work with people who are very passionate and want to work in a place that they can be passionate about helping those. I'm one of those people. I'm very, very lucky. Every day I get to help somebody, and I get to do that and still make a living for myself and my family. So I just, Jim, I just did a whole lot of rambling, but I think I answered your question. It's making work part of your life instead of having to go to work to support your lifestyle. Does that make sense?
It does, yes, exactly, right. It's a different way to think about it, and it may seem foreign to some because, you know, we've been conditioned to think about it in the other way, in the reversed way. But it's really true. I mean, it makes a world of difference when you approach it that way, right?
That's right. We give millennials a bad rap because they won't stay somewhere that's not a good fit for them. But I think they've really taught the older generations a good lesson in that work doesn't have to be a grind. It doesn't have to be something that we endure every day. And if we just put a little effort into figuring out what we want out of our job, then we can overcome that. You know, and on that note, we can learn that sometimes it's to everybody's benefit to make that leap. We don't have to stay in the same organization for 30 years. You know, when job seekers move from company A to company B, on average, they're making a 15 to 20% raise. When we're staying put, we're getting a 3 to 5% raise every year. Who's the smarter job seeker now, right?
Yeah.
You know, right. Somebody like me who stays in a job for 10 years or somebody who finds a new organization every couple of years. Or maybe I like what I do, but I'm actually going to make sure that my salary has remained competitive and negotiate for a better one if I want to stay.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
Instead of accepting that 3% cost of living.
It's amazing, isn't it, when you really think about it this way? Yeah, it's a different approach, and I think it's one that brings a fresh perspective to it all in a unique way, and it's, you have it so well thought out. You know,
but that's what most people need is just a different perspective. We're so close and we're so emotional about our careers, it's hard to look outside of our immediate view.
One of the things that's really great about what you do is, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, you probe clients with things like, what is your passion? What really matters to you? What are your non-negotiables? And you do that deeper dive to get to the heart of what the prospective employee wants and why the person maybe was not happy doing what they were doing before. And many things that are essential in one's life that people are craving now, that better work-life balance. They really want to have that better balance. And internal training, mobility opportunities, the chance to work remotely, which was actually being thought about even before COVID reshaped the workplace concept, right? This is, these are all things we're dealing with now that you help your clients navigate.
That's exactly right. And Jim, I'll do you one better. I like the term work-life harmony. I think we all know balance is very, very difficult to achieve. But can I find harmony? Can I find a position that melds with what's important to me outside of work?
Right, right, exactly. And that's crucial. That is absolutely crucial. If somebody is consulting with you the first time, do you do an assessment? What is a first consultation like with your client?
It depends on why they're approaching me, but I will tell you the majority of clients come to me for a resume. You know, I work with a little bit later in life clients, later career folks who are comfortable or at least think they're comfortable with the job search. So they come to me for a resume, but that first conversation has to be, okay, where do you want to land? And so usually it's a fairly relaxed assessment that we do because everybody's a little bit different. But it usually begins with those questions that you've already asked. What are you passionate about? What's most important to you? What are your priorities outside of work that you need to be aware of? So we can help them determine, what does the ideal next position look like for me? I always say creating a job search is like drawing a map. You know, I want to go on vacation. I hop in the car, I start driving, but I don't know where I'm going. I may end up somewhere fun. I may end up at the local dump, you know, because I haven't plotted it out.
Right.
So the first thing I want to do is say, okay, where am I going? The second thing I want to do is plot out my course, which a lot of people don't do. Okay, I want to go to Disney World, but I'm just going to jump in the car and head east. Well, what if I spend my entire vacation driving because I keep taking the long route? So pick a destination, map out your route, and then put in the hard work. Job search is not a natural talent for many people. You're going to use a lot of things, a lot of muscles that have atrophied since your last job search, and you have to be ready to get uncomfortable. If you're only willing to do the minimum, it's going to be long, hard, and frustrating. It's going to be frustrating regardless, probably, but it gets a lot easier when you're willing to do the hard stuff, and a lot shorter.
That's so true, and I think that's a wonderful thing to let sink in for our listening audience. Putting one foot in front of the other is so important, and I always say that one of the greatest investments you can make in life is in yourself. In yourself. And I do want to make mention as well that you'll be with us coming up on August 24th for part two, and that'll be talking about landing the dream career, which is an exciting topic as well, so we look forward to that. Also, the book, again, The Insider's Guide to Your Dream Career, very excited. Now you're preparing an updated version in the fall as well, so congratulations.
We just released it.
Oh, congratulations. That's great. Literally hot off the presses. Folks can go to ebhrexperts.com to learn more. That is the website. And Crystal, this was a pleasure having you on the show, part one of the two-part series. Looking forward to exploring more, hearing success stories and all the rest. And thanks for spending the time with us. I hope you enjoyed as much of this episode with me as much as I absolutely have with you, Crystal.
I did, Jim. Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. Again, Crystal will be back with us on the 24th of August for part two of the series. Crystal Yates with us of EBRHR Consulting. Extraordinary. The website, one more time, is www.ebhrexperts.com. The book, The Insider's Guide to Your Dream Career. She loves what she does, and she's helped many. And she can help you as well. This is Jim Masters thanking you for your time this time, till next time, inviting you to stay right there. Another great episode with another fascinating guest comes up in just a moment. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day. Thanks for listening, and we appreciate you being with us here on Close Up Radio. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.